The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Welcome to the United Center, the DNC Milwaukee. Damn, Chicago.
Man, yeah.
Screw it up right from the get-go. Dom,
do you know where you are, Trump? You know what town you're in?
Welcome to Monday. We've got our friend Scott Ross. He's a trash-texting Gemini friend of ours. He's down here doing a lot of media hits, and we appreciate you joining us, Scott Ross. And if you don't mind, as soon as former Governor Jennifer Granholm, Secretary of Energy, as soon as she gets here, you're gone, buddy. So I better let you talk now.
I would be offended if you didn't throw me off.
We will absolutely throw you off when Governor Granholm gets here.
Secretary, that sounds perfect.
Scott Ross, the DNC new enthusiasm, buddy.
Yeah, this is great. I mean, I apparently picked the right time at the age of 55 to finally come to a Democratic National Convention, because I've never been to one before. I went to the RNC, you know, last month, and that was the first time I'd ever been to one of these things. And the enthusiasm, again, like you say, is off the charts. Like, I just see nonstop hugging, appropriate hugging, but I see nonstop hugging going on throughout the halls here.
I can't promise it's all going to be appropriate hugging, Scott Ross, if I get you alone later, man.
Well, you know.
Scott, I got to tell you, this enthusiasm, the Democrats' party and the Republicans less so. And we saw that in Philadelphia. Dom and I were in Philly at Hillary Clinton's nomination in 16. And Trump's nomination in 16 was like a morgue. And Hillary Clinton's was like a rock concert. And I would say the enthusiasm we are now feeling, it exceeds that, Scott Ross.
Yeah, and again, I think that you're hitting exactly what the thing is. It's enthusiasm, it's excitement, it's opportunity. You know, it's restoring joy and hope to our politics, because for 8 years, well, go back to 2015, but 2016, when it really hit home after Trump was elected, that there is something really rotten and bad going on in our politics, and there is an impact and a consequence for that, as so many people know. You know, literally every demographic knows, because it's been hit somehow. And the crescendo of all that is coming here, where we are going to, you know, nominate, have put in nomination, you know, the first black woman to ever be president of the United States. And it is incredibly exciting. And again, it could not be coming at the better time, when they have stripped away the rights that women enjoyed for 50 years and turned them back into second class citizens legally.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Our friend Scott Ross, he's a firebrand. He's a Gemini. He is Mr. Ethics. Great to see you, man. You're looking great, man. The excitement here is contrasted, I think, by what we saw at the RNC. And as time continues to flow by, you know, this is our third go-around of the presidential. It's really the contrast between Trump now and Kamala Harris and Walz. And I think this, what really gets me excited right now, is to see how they're flailing on the other side. I've not seen unity like this ever. I've not felt the energy like this ever. I've not been personally excited about a convention like I am right now. And it's the other side's losing their mind, seemingly. They don't have an attack plan, and they seem to be flailing.
No, Scott. Absolutely. And, you know, they didn't help themselves by bringing on a vice presidential candidate who has no business being on a national ticket, who doesn't have the experience. All he does
is weird.
He is the vehicle for, you know, Silicon Valley billionaires, anti-worker billionaires, to come in and, you know, enact their policy, both of tax breaks, but also of stripping away every protection that workers have in the workplace. And that is why he is on the ticket. You know, this is a guy who got, you know, the largest single contribution from a guy, from a human being in American history. Yeah. When Peter Thiel, you know, the German or South African, Elon Musk is South African.
Yeah, right, right.
Peter Thiel, I think, is German, you know, who doesn't believe in democracy, went and financed him, and now he's on the ticket. I mean, this is, you know, that is ugly stuff. And I think you saw it just in terms of,
they've been grooming this guy from day one. I mean, yeah. They picked this guy up, and he was a senator, and he had the support of Thiel back then. It's blatant.
Absolutely. And the thing is, I think you tell me if you think from being here a couple hours that you're going to see, you know, for instance, Tammy Baldwin walk out of, you know, Tim Walz's speech 10 minutes in like Ron Johnson did at the RNC. You know, he left he didn't want to hear it, you know. So I think that's
Ron
the difference.
Ron walked out on Trump's speech at the
No,
RNC?
Not Trump, on J.D. Vance's speech.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 10 minutes in.
Well, both would be a sensible thing for Ron to do.
Well, in theory, right? But the thing is, you know, you turn around the biggest applause lines in Milwaukee, the biggest applause lines in Milwaukee were when Trump, like, you know, at minute like 75 started going after trans people. Like that, I think, just shows you the difference between the two sides, where they're at right now. And again, we've got a 78-year-old, 34-time convicted felon, twice impeached, who, you know, has very clearly shown that he has lost his mental faculties. So of course, enthusiasm is on the devil, on the Democrat side.
Scott Ross, our good friend. Scott, we got to jettison you here in a moment. Jennifer Granholm, former governor of Michigan, going to join us. She's a cabinet-level secretary, and I don't think she trash tweets as much as you do.
Well, let me just say this. For history, back in 2002, when Secretary Granholm first ran for governor, it was the same time when Wisconsin ran its first woman on a major party ticket, Kathleen Falk, and I worked for her. And that same election was when Peg Lautenschlager, and I got to work for her after the primary, became the first woman attorney general in the history of the state of Wisconsin. And just think about those were firsts in Wisconsin.
Firsts, right.
22 years ago, now we're going to have the first woman president and a black woman to boot. This is awesome.
That is great.
Scott Ross, great seeing you down here at the DNC, man. Can't wait to hook up and show you some of the nightlife.
Yeah, and let's talk again.
If you haven't DNC'd before, we know how this is done.
Excellent.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We are expecting a fine guest to join us here at the table momentarily. Secretary Granholm, Jennifer Granholm, former Michigan governor. Very exciting. You got to keep your head on a swivel, though. You got to be prepared to take all comers at the opportune moment. We're also hoping to be joined by Mark Pocan here in this hour, my congressman, our friend, Matt Flynn. And there is not a more Joe Biden-loving man in America than our pal Matt Flynn. So we're going to check in with Matt Flynn. He's back in Milwaukee. I think he might sneak up and see Kamala tomorrow.
While we wait for Granholm, Scott, let me ask you this. The Project 2025 has been, you know, foremost and forefront, and the Republicans are really, it depends on who you talk to. You're walking away from it or you're getting it. How big of an impact do you think that is right now?
I think it's huge because of the issues. You know, again, they're going to end no-fault divorce, get rid of all abortion, take away workers' rights, and take away trans rights. So that's the end of that.
Scott Ross, thank you so much. We're going to clear the decks here momentarily so we can bring Jennifer Granholm on. She's
good to
the
see
Michigan
you later.
Governor.
Thanks, Scott.
And you are listening to the Devil's Advocates. We're live at the United Center in Chicago, Illinois, the DNC, and we've got the former Michigan governor, current. Very nice to meet you. Jennifer Granholm, let's talk about Michigan. You're sitting next to a former Detroiter.
Really?
Yes, born in Livonia, absolutely.
You were born in Livonia?
I know, if you
no
believe
kidding.
It. I love it. It's great.
I lived for a long period of time in Northville,
the neighbor
to Livonia.
Yeah,
so
excellent.
That's awesome.
Pleasure to meet you.
Nice
Governor
meet
Granholm,
you.
If you don't mind me calling you such, Kamala Harris, and I know you're here as a private citizen partying at the DNC like the rest of us. What is the enthusiasm
we're partying,
feel like?
Where is the beer, man?
We can handle that. Man. We are the Wisconsin contingent.
Oh, look, all right.
We've got a runner. What is the feeling in Michigan? Friends at home, are they saying good things about Kamala Harris and the ticket?
Yes, they're so. I mean, there's just this huge sense of infusion of energy and excitement, and You know, people love her, and she's visited Michigan a lot, and that's great. And the newness of Tim Walz added to it, who's obviously from the Midwest as well, and he brings that whole Midwestern, you know, aura and sensibility and humor and realness. The combination is really quite irresistible.
Genuine, and it comes across. Yeah,
totally comes across. It's pretty exciting.
Governor, did you ever imagine how quickly the tenor of the race could turn?
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Biden did such a statesman-like thing. He stepped aside. But I am shocked at the Democrats herding their cats immediately behind this candidate. I've never seen such a thing.
You know, it's funny. I think because of the short period of time that we have between now and the election, 77 days, you know, that forced folks to make sure that they were going to get in line, I think, because we just... You know, the president was utterly gracious, and I think he'll be utterly gracious tonight. I think he was heroic, honestly, in doing what he did, selfless act to hand the baton. And, you know, that's what succession is all about, is you want to have somebody succeed you, building on your success. And the successes that the Biden-Harris administration are real. And I know that in Michigan and probably Wisconsin as well, that people are starting to see these factories being built, the reversal of the loss of the manufacturing jobs that we had seen for so long, and, you know, the combination of the personalities at the top, the realness of it, the joy that they're bringing, and the policies that are happening, and the contrast, which
You're
is
right.
significant.
Yes.
Secretary Granholm, I saw Ron Johnson and Rick Scott, a couple of Republican senators, doing their pushback against the DNC today. They claim all inflation stems from energy cost, and their plan is drill, baby, drill.
Okay, first of all, this is so ridiculous. I mean, I'm speaking in my personal capacity,
yes,
but I
ma'am.
Happen to know from reading in the paper
yes.
that we are producing more oil and gas now than we ever have, so more than under the Trump administration. The inflation is pegged to things like energy. That is true. But inflation has come down from 9% to below 3%. By two-thirds, it has dropped. Trump's plan to put a tax basically on all imports would cause inflation to go through the roof again, costing families almost $4,000 a year. The policies that they're putting in place or that they want to put in place are ridiculous. They want to repeal the very acts that are bringing all of these jobs to America. We all want to make sure that we are competing against China, and all these factories are coming to America. They're going to repeal that when people are getting jobs across the country? It's insane.
Governor Granholm, Secretary Granholm, thank you so much for giving a few minutes of your time. Ron Johnson said it's tough to be a billionaire today. You don't even know. Thank you so much. More Devil's Advocates live at the DNC. More fine guests. Join us next.
Thank you.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
Baby, don't you wanna go?
And we are back from the 420 break live from the United Center in Chicago. It's the DNC. It's not Milwaukee. It's not the RNC. It's the DNC in Chicago. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Jennifer Granholm. Thank you, our buddy Scott Ross. We look forward to Congressman Mark Polkan going to join us here in a little while as well.
The first of many fans I intend to butcher this week.
it's Monday, man.
RNC week? No, DNC week. DNC.
DNC.
So these are the Democrats.
Yes.
No wonder why everyone's wearing blue around here.
And everyone's got a smile on their face.
You know, the city was already hopping on Sunday night when I arrived in town. I know the civic media crew, they had their own little party going on. But when I came downtown here, Dom, you know, there were delegates being festive in the respective, well, let's just call it the hotel bar.
Yes.
Where we were staying. You'll check it out with me later.
It is one of the most joyous occasions when you get to meet the folks at the hotel bar.
But here's the problem. Unlike the last time we did the Democratic convention, we are not staying at the hotel with the contingency from the state of Wisconsin.
Why not?
I didn't know. I booked this hotel room back in January, man. They gave us dates long before they told us where the contingent was going to stay. So anyways, I got up this morning and I thought to myself, I'm going to go up to the breakfast, because the breakfast, they're often newsworthy. They have newsmakers and
like
get
the Wisconsin,
them.
Specifically the Wisconsin, delegation breakfast.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Up the road.
All right.
You know, I got a $62 parking spot, dude. I'm not moving the car.
No, dude.
So I walked it, and the way they express this on the ticket, they're like, well, you're not going to have a chair. We're going to put you in the penalty box in the back. We've got too many press attending this thing, so... You know, if you could kindly not attend, we'd really appreciate it.
I was getting uninvited, man.
Well, you know, not me specifically, just like broadly. You had to go through like three different spreadsheets just to put your name on the list. So anyways, I'm like, well, then, yeah, maybe I'll show up closer to the end. Right? Because I don't want to stand there for an hour and a half. 8:30 to 10, I think the time listed. So I get in there and, you know, they're doing interviews. I see Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin, getting interviewed. I see our friend Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party chair. And, you know, I'm thinking, man, we're going to get some of these people during the course of this week. Some, I could get some now. Mark Pocan, we're getting him a little bit later today on this fine broadcast. And one of the former candidates says to me, man, wasn't that great, Tim Walz, this morning?
What? Come on, man. How do you?
The vice presidential candidate came to the Wisconsin contingent for breakfast. And guess who wasn't there?
And you weren't there. Did you come in last night? I mean, you hadn't.
I did come in last night.
Curdy, you had one job, man. You had one job.
I did have one job, and I freaking blew it. I blew my one job, Dom, to go to the breakfast. Where were you?
Well, I was working, man. I was on my way down.
So, anyways, mea culpa.
Yes, yes.
And you know who introduced Tim Walz to the Wisconsin contingent? Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Oh, Chuck,
your
was
boy
there
Chuck
too.
Schumer.
Come on, man.
So, anyways, I missed it.
Good thing we came all this way to miss it. What were you doing about that time? I mean, I was wondering, like, the opportunity cost.
Probably just walking, just ambling. I mean, I swear I probably killed an hour at the hotel just waiting. Do you think it's been long enough? Because I don't want to sit in the back. Had I known, I let you all down, our fair audience. Rich, can you hear me, Rich, back on the mothership in Madison?
Indeed,
Rich,
I can.
Do we have some sound of Tim Walz?
Yes, we do.
Hey, let's play some of the Tim Walz from the morning breakfast. If Crudy couldn't be there, well, we'll play it for you on the radio and we can all hear it together. How many cuts do we have?
Total of four.
Total of four? Well, let's get it rolling. Tim Walz talking to the Wisconsin Dems, minus Crudy, talking about a brighter future. Without Crudy, cut one.
No one in this room needs to be told of what the alternative is. We understand what the alternative is.
Right.
That doesn't motivate people. It's not just beating those guys. It's about setting a course for a future that's brighter for everyone. It's about the idea of the things that we believe in, whether it's democracy or freedom or the strength of our public schools or decency or doing the things we know out in our part of the woods. Keep the water clean. Keep the air clean. Do those things that make a difference.
Clean water, clean air. I'd have had about enough of this socialist talk. We've got a few more from Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota, at the Wisconsin delegation breakfast.
Totally missed it.
That Crudy missed. Let's play cut two, please.
Since Kamala Harris became our nominee, our presumptive nominee, you'll finish the work. We know what needs to be done here. In Wisconsin alone, brand new people signed up to volunteer. 42,549
signed up.
18,956 completed shifts, 602,000 phone calls, and 185,000 doors knocked on.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's
almost 43,000 people signed up in the last month since Vice President Harris became the lead. Just a couple short ones from Tim. Cut three, please.
Everybody's standing shoulder to shoulder. And for each of you, no one knows that sense of sacrifice more than you of being here. I'm grateful for your commitment to this party. But more importantly, I'm grateful for your commitment to this country.
Oh, humility?
What's that?
Thanks? Appreciation? Man, these are just, it's been so long. Last one from Governor Walz in Chicago today. Cut four, please.
78 days is what we got left. So you hear me telling Mr. Rallies, I'm going to continue to say it. We've got 78 days of hard work. We can sleep when we're dead. Not now. Not now. Not now.
That was my only question this morning when I realized I'd missed both VP nominee Tim Walz and also Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. Did he use the line? Did he give the line?
And he did. We'll sleep when we're dead.
We'll sleep when we're dead. And here's the problem. I was up. I set the alarm. I got up.
You could have been there. You could have had a chance.
I could have been a contender. Folks, you are listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show live on the road, DNC, Chi-Town, Chicago. And we got fine guests. My congressman's here, Mark Pocan, our friend. He'll join us at the table next. And we'll catch up with our buddy Matt Flynn, a very Biden-centric guy.
Very
Joe
direct.
Biden. Tonight is Joe Biden's night. Odin, also, did we mention, we'll be providing coverage all night long, anchored coverage right here on the Civic Media Network, WCPT 820 AM and KTNF 950 AM. Got the Midwest covered, the Big Ten Network broadcasting right here. Devils Advocates live in Chicago. Mark Pocan at the table next.
Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show live on the road, DNC in Chicago. We got a fine guest. He's joined us at the table. He's my magical congressman, Mark Pocan. Mark, welcome back, man. Been missing you.
Yeah, it's great to be with you guys.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
Yeah, see you in person for a change instead of via phone.
Well, I saw you this morning. I just missed Tim Walz. How was he, sir?
Who? He was great. I mean, you know, if it wasn't for their crappy sports teams, right? Wisconsin and Minnesota are very similar. We sound alike, similar values. Each of us would probably jumpstart your car if you needed it, you know? And to have someone like that on the ticket that can talk like people from Wisconsin or Michigan, I think is really helpful in a couple of the swing states we need to win.
Yeah. Mark, I was with you and a crowd of maybe 300 to 500 in Madison, Wisconsin on July 5th. Mm-hmm. And you introduced Joe Biden from the stage, and this was post-debate. And these were difficult times for Joe. And 2 weeks later to the day, you encouraged Joe Biden to step out of the race. He did so. He took your advice, and I suspect a few others. Dropped out on Sunday. By the following Tuesday, I'm at Kamala Harris. There's Mark Pocan. Were you not? Or
no,
you
I
missed
wasn't
that
there.
One?
I didn't get to that.
Well,
one.
Anyways, Mark, my point being is, did anything change in those 2 weeks?
Well, I did have a talk with him behind the scenes, and yeah. I'm not going to go into what I said, but I think I expressed the nervousness that people had about his ability to beat Donald Trump, because that was what we were getting. You know, that's all I was hearing. And I also felt that he, fair or not, I mean, not fair, really. I mean, he just came to this late in life. And he has, you can see he's gotten older, right? Just mm-hmm. since I saw him in March, even. And so, you know, what he did was something that's pretty much unheard of in Washington, is he put his country above his own personal ambition. And stepped aside so that the Democrats could win. And the values that the reason he ran to begin with, and he's been doing this for decades, he actually put that first, but in a way that I don't know many politicians who would do. So, you know, he deserves tremendous credit for that, but the energy is unbelievable coming out of there. People now aren't nervous about losing to Trump. They're enthusiastic about electing the next generation.
Yeah.
And it's not an old black and white rerun. You now got a new fall episode of something people are excited about. And that's what I see wherever I'm traveling.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio. Congressman Mark Pocan joining us at the Civic Media booth at the DNC in Chicago. Mark, the excitement from the young voters is really something. And the selfless act, I got to say, I'm so looking forward to hearing the president's speech tonight.
Yes.
And before he decided to step back, I was not looking forward to hearing his speech this week. So, I'm just absolutely relieved, and to see the the fundraising, the volunteers, mm-hmm. like 43,000 people in Wisconsin alone.
Yes.
And the younger voters really getting excited. What do you think about how that's going to impact this race?
It's huge. I mean, we have our neighboring congressional district, the 3rd congressional district, has one of America's more embarrassing members of Congress, Derek Van Orden.
Yes.
Right? Insurrectionist turn, buffoon congressman, whatever you want to describe him as. And there are 6 UW campuses in that district. There are more undergrads in the 3rd district than in my district with UW-Madison.
Wow.
And I think this means a lot in a district like that where we only lost by 11,000 votes. So if you've got tens of thousands of students who might not have been as motivated, whether it be because of Israel-Gaza or the age of the president. There are two people people weren't happy with the debate. They didn't like either candidate. I heard that all too often. One of those candidates is still running. That's Donald Trump. And we now have someone who's got a very different, positive, forward-thinking campaign. And that is totally, I agree, connecting with young voters. Yeah.
My congressman, our friend Mark Pocan, here at the table at the DNC in Chicago. Mark, I ventured off campus today and went over to Trump Tower, and I saw U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and Rick Scott. And during the course of the conversation, the Q&A with the assembled media, Ron bemoaned how difficult it is to be a billionaire, Mark.
Yeah, it's tough.
And he's standing there with Rick Scott, and they're talking about making America wealthy again. And I'm thinking, here are two of the richest members of the U.S. Senate standing here together. And didn't the other guy defraud Medicare get fined $1.7 billion? I'm thinking, what a fine representation they make. But, Mark, do you feel bad for the billionaire class?
I'll say screw them instead. What I was going to say, how's that? But could you find two more out-of-touch elected officials at a more out-of-touch location in Chicago this week than the Trump Tower to have a more out-of-touch message, which is pretty much the theme of the Republican Party right now, right? This is people who are not connecting. Donald Trump is not, being the main thing talked about every day, which is driving him even more crazy. And instead, we have a campaign talking about joy, which is what people really would rather talk about, right? Instead of the gloom and doom, the artificial gloom and doom that Donald Trump talks about, people now have something aspirational. So I think Rojo should go to every place billionaires go and share his message of woe, but I don't think the average voter is caring.
Mark, I drove through rural Wisconsin up to northern Wisconsin this weekend. A lot of Trump signs, man. Still a lot of Trump signs. I'm not seeing the population of Harris signs, not in rural Wisconsin at least.
But we just put a second name on the ticket. And as a printer, it takes a little bit of time to do things. So I'm
still waiting on my...
I'm not too worried yet.
Mark, I ordered the camouflage Walls Harris hat or Harris Walls hat in orange. End of September, man.
I know.
You could have turned that around in a week.
This is the reality. So I'm not too nervous on that. I did a lot of traveling in the 3rd Congressional District in July and August and talked to lots of people. The energy is really there on this ticket, and you will see a lot of visibility once people get a chance to print the second name because it is relatively new, right, to the ticket, and you're going to see that coming out of the convention. I'm not worried at all. In fact, just the opposite. When I see people who no longer are going to campaign because they're nervous and they're afraid someone's going to get elected, now they want to elect someone, it's a palpable difference, and it's going to help us in the 1st and 3rd congressional districts where people like Peter Barca and Becca Cooker are running, as well as the 8th and some other where we have strong candidates, and also the state legislature, don't forget, in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. It is so important. I don't want to forget, I just talk about presidential, when we have Tammy Baldwin to make sure she's reelected. We have congressional seats to pick up. But in the assembly in particular, we can pick up the majority and get us so close in the Senate in 2 years, Governor Evers will have Democratic majorities in both houses. That, given where we were in 2010 when we lost all these, is a big...
It's amazing.
Effing deal, as Joe Biden will say, since he's going to be speaking today.
Mark, the 3rd CD, the DCCC, didn't support as much. PAF lost by what, a point? I mean, 4 points perhaps?
About 3.5.
Was closer than anyone thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
How do you think this going to funding? How do you think the funding is going to be?
So the House Majority PAC, which is the arm that does that for the DTRIP, has a $4 million reservation right now in the 3rd CD. doesn't stay unless we poll well, so we have to make sure we're polling well, but that's how committed they are. We had nothing 2 years ago. It was the worst operation for the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. This year, one of the best since I've been
and,
there.
And Van Orden has identified himself for who he is. He land-based kids.
He's in a bar right
and,
now.
And young women.
With a bar tab, too, I'll bet.
At the RNC, he got into a scuffle with a protester and proclaimed political violence. This is after the assassination attempt.
His hips hurt.
I mean, the angst and the
he's an awful human being, right? You can just say that.
The grievances.
Just cut to the chase.
It's so raw and wrong to say you were a victim of political violence after an attempted assassination when you were the one, you know, starting this kind of thing. I think, you know, the reflection of the man as he is presented himself in Congress, as he's presented himself to the community, I think it's. It should be an easy win. I mean, it's not going to be easy, but I don't know who else you want to go up against in the situation that Cook is in and the Dems are in right now.
They're going to have a lot of money. Nothing is easy in a purple district and a purple state. Let me just say that first. So that's why, you know, we all are going to have to work really hard. It's a very rural district with four TV markets, which is very difficult to get messaging out. So that's real. But I agree. I mean, Derek Van Orden truly is one of the most embarrassing members. And I serve with Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I'm saying that. Think about it. Like, he is truly awful. I one night recently, after happy hour, he had about 20-some tweets. I'm like, what was the special in Prairie du Chien that night that got him so going? We know who this guy is.
Buy one, get one, baby.
I think he was getting more than one when he was paying for the one. But we got to beat him. And then in the first district, you know, Peter Barca, who former member of Congress, former leader of the Democrats in the Assembly, former Secretary of Revenue, is running against Brian Stile. And, you know, Brian Stile, as you know, tries to take no positions on anything. He wants to be flavorless Jell-O, whatever he's next to, he's going to taste like. We got a chance to get a real, you know, person elected who's got all kinds of great credentials. So the first and the third are districts people should be watching.
And the eighth, I think.
And the eighth as well. I agree.
Kristen Lierley against that Trump-endorsed Cody Weed guy.
An OBGYN against the guy who uses the dinosaur as his symbol of his business. I think I know who's more forward-thinking when I come
to that. But Jesus rolled that dinosaur, Mark. Your staff is telling us you're short on time, sir. Apparently
we're
not.
We're
going to keep going here, Mark.
They're not paying attention to you.
I
have no idea on time.
Our fine guest, Mark Pocan, here at the table. Mark, I believe Hillary's also going to speak tonight.
She might be.
I believe she is on the speaking agenda.
I am going to say this, and I get yelled at every time. Someone's going to be mad, and you're going to get someone to write you on this. But, you know, that campaign was like the worst ever in Wisconsin, right? Not because of Hillary, but because of the campaign. And she never came post-primary. Look how much Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and before that Joe Biden are coming to the state. They get the message that you have to talk to folks and talk to them about what they care about, and their agenda is an economic
agenda. What do you think about
them
coming tomorrow in the middle of the DNC, going and doing a rally in Milwaukee? I think it's brilliant, but it's
called MF.
It does squeeze the resources.
Badass MFs, right? That's what they're
telling you. You love that idea, sir.
I love the idea. The only thing better is if they found a way to, I don't know. It's a great way to send a message of the Republicans had this convention with zero bounce, and they appointed a zero to be on the VP, who's not going to get them any additional support, and to show this ticket with the energy and enthusiasm and go right up to Milwaukee at the same place where they had their speeches and do an even better job. And hopefully, maybe even a bigger crowd, which would make, you know, Donald Trump just
lose his mind.
Have a 2 a.m. tweeting again or whatever his Truth Social business is.
It should be a neat thing. I hear J.D. Vance is coming to answer.
Oh, God. You know, the only thing worse than Ron Johnson going to the Trump Tower to talk about billionaires might be Vance going to Milwaukee to talk about anything.
Mark Pocan, the week builds. I mean, we're honoring Joe Biden tonight. Obviously, he deserves our respect, and what a thing he did. But the enthusiasm really builds during the course of the week. Right now, Kamala Harris has not put a clear policy agenda as a candidate, as a presidential candidate. Mark, I'm okay with that for a bit. What do you think?
Well, we already know what she and Joe Biden did, right? And it was their administration that passed an infrastructure bill that got us out of COVID. That's making things here to get in America computer chips through the Chips and Science Act. helping us reduce the cost of prescription drugs and energy, right? So she's got all those credentials, which are more than solid. But people need to just connect and like her and Tim Walz, and I think they're going to. So you can either vote for joy and positive opportunity and aspirations for your family, like you're getting out of Harris Walz, or you can have the gloom and doom of Donald Trump and, you know, J.D. Vance, still bizarre.
The shtick's getting old, yeah, Mark. It's getting stale.
It's a black and white rerun versus that new fall, you know, program that's coming out. And I think I know where people are going to go for that.
Congressman Mark Pocan, it's been the talk of the town the last couple of days. I want to get your opinion on it. Who's better looking, Kamala Harris or Donald Trump?
Oh, man.
Uh-huh.
You know, the only thing that could pull maybe higher than do you like puppies would be that. I think that's pretty easy to figure out.
Okay, just wanted to know.
Remember when Schultz used to do those polls on MSNBC and they go 98-2?
Yes.
I kind of see that one spinning out as such.
I was going to say who has better hair, but even there, I think I know. Who has more removable hair? Maybe that's the question we should ask.
Mark, you and I will stay out of the hair business.
Hey.
What? Come on.
You know what? I haven't had to buy shampoo for a long, long time, and I'm pretty damn happy about
that. Paid a barber in forever either, Congressman. Mark Pocan, thank you for joining us here at the table at the DNC in Chicago. I know you got to move on, sir, but we really appreciate it and look forward to having a cold spotted cow someday soon.
Absolutely, guys.
Thank
love
you,
to.
Mark.
Yeah, thank you. Take care.
More Devil's Advocates. Come back. Matt Flynn and maybe a few other surprise guests.
Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Hey, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show live from the DNC United Center in Chicago, Illinois. It is a glorious fun time already. Thank you, Congressman Mark Pocan, swinging by. We'll try to get some more fun, exciting guests for you this week.
I'm eyeballing Tom Perez over there, former DNC chair. He was a good guy to us, man. We probably interviewed Tom at least 10 times around the nation. Every presidential debate we went to.
That's right.
We got us some Tom Perez. Hopefully he can join us here on the show. We invited him. And we also invited our friend back in Milwaukee. Hopefully he's standing by. Rich going to need your help with this. But let's take Matt Flynn if he's on the phones. Are you there, Matt Flynn? Rich, you got to communicate with me. Is Matt there?
All right, let's see here.
Let's see.
844-967-2789.
Well, I guess we'll keep talking because our producer isn't communicating with us. Rich, it'd be nice if you did.
There we go. Matt, are you?
Matt.
Let's see here. Come on.
Matt Flynn.
And we just lost.
And we lost.
And we lost.
So we're at the DNC in Milwaukee and best laid plans and all that kind of stuff. 844-967-2789. Matt Flynn, call us because I don't know a bigger fan of Joe Biden than our pal Matt Flynn. If you'll recall, Dom, his resume, he's a twice elected Dem Party chair of the great state of Wisconsin, and he ran for governor, and he's a fairly direct guy. He's our buddy Matt Flynn. So as soon as he's screened, that might be Matt calling in on somebody else's line. I'm not clear. But, Dom, tonight is Joe Biden's night here at the DNC. And we will be providing anchored coverage from WCPT, 820 AM, right here in the host city of Chicago. We're also going to be on KTNF, 950 AM, and on the Civic Media Network. So stay right here. We'll be providing your coverage all night long. You don't have to turn it on the TV. You can turn it right here on the Civic Media app. And our buddy Matt Flynn, let's see if we can get him. Matt, welcome back, man. What do you got for us?
Hey, Matt. Matt, you're up. Matt's not there.
And
all right, we'll try, Matt.
We're not getting the phones.
We're not getting the phones. It's not happening. Crudy, tonight, of course, mentioned the speech that I'm super excited to see that a month ago I was honestly dreading just a little bit.
The Joe Biden speech.
The Joe Biden speech today.
Well, the nature of the speech has changed.
Yeah, you think?
I do think.
And it's just, I can't say it enough, the selflessness, the professionalism, you know, a guy who's been serving for over 50 years in some sort of capacity to step aside for a new generation. Gen Xers, finally, okay, boomers, it's our turn now. And the way he did it, I think, and that, you see, he reported all these little... You're a little frosty sometimes about this. Well, you know, those are tough decisions to make, and anybody would probably has. As Joe, you know, he resisted for a long time, you know, listening to some of those folks who were a little concerned about this. But he's going to give his speech tonight, as well as Dr. Jill Biden, Chris Coons, a senator from Delaware, Senator Warnock from Georgia, also Andy Beshear from Kentucky. He's the governor. Lots of folks. I can't wait to see Jimmy Raskin. He's a favorite of mine. I really learned to appreciate him. Of course, South Carolina member of the House, Jim Clyburn, very instrumental in Biden's success last time around. It's going to be.
What about Hillary Clinton? Hillary Clinton giving a speech tonight? I know you've got the local Chicago news coverage, but I believe the DNC official list included Hillary Clinton giving a speech tonight.
Yes,
big speech. Now, one thing I would point out, why I bring up Hillary Clinton in this case. Obviously, Hillary was the first female nominee for the Democratic Party or any party, right? Major candidate for either of the two major parties. Kamala Harris isn't talking much about being the first female president. She is not pushing those same buttons in the same way that Hillary did. And it's not that no one realizes it, man. I've talked to lots of excited women that want to see this glass ceiling broken, want this to be the case for her. But, damn, I'm not hearing it from the campaign per se. They're not the ones casting it through the prism of first female president.
Right. They're not leading that. That's not the first thing they're saying. The joy, you know, I think is really what is. It attracts, man. You talk about joy. You talk about something that's aspirational. It is something that everyone can get on with. I know that the Republicans and the MAGAs have been, you know, harping. Oh, she's not doing enough, you know, press. And where's all the policies? As Congressman Pocan said, you know, they just added the other dame, you know, to the list, man. Let them work through the kinks. They're working on the policy stuff. We're going to hear a lot, I think, this week. And in the weeks to come, that will get clarified. And certainly just because the Republicans want Harris
hope
to
and change. That's
sit
what
down.
I want.
The Republicans are demanding she sit down with the press and yada. You know what? Take your time. Enjoy the moment. Work the crowd, work the fever, work the emotion. Joy is contagious, and I think that is the most important part, at least at this phase of the campaign, and this is going to be a joyous event here this week.
I only see you happy when there's a party going on.
Yes, there's a party going on. It's the DNC in Chicago, man, and we are here. Hell, we'll even maybe try to hit a couple of the events where, you know, politicians will come and speak at eating events if we can, you know, set our clocks right. Be motivated enough.
Well, you're getting up for the breakfast tomorrow morning? Come on, man. I went to the Ron Johnson, Rick Scott, Trump Tower presser, man. Where were you at that?
You did go, so we didn't have to go. I do appreciate that.
Maybe we'll share a little of the opposition sound.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah, I mean, it's good to contrast, you know, what the Republicans, the MAGAs are saying and what's going on here in Chicago at the DNC.
Well, Ron did point out it's really, really hard to be a billionaire.
It's when a rich white guy is going to catch a break in this country.
More Devil's Advocates live from the DNC in Chicago, the United Center. That's the place to be. You're here right now with us.